It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I am Keith Manley, and yesterday we started a brand new teaching on the book of 1 Peter, and great doctrine that we find here in 1 Peter. And we covered verse 13 where he said, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled and set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." The battle that we fight in this life is a spiritual battle. It's spiritual warfare, like Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 6. We're to take on the full armor of God because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. And Peter writes here, "You prepare your minds for action and be self-controlled. Put your hope fully on the grace to be given you through Jesus Christ." Why do I put my hope in that grace? Because grace is God's ability in you to do for you what you cannot do in yourself. And then he went on to tell us to be holy. Why? Because God is holy. "Be holy because I am holy," is what God said. Now, verse 17, we're going to pick up today of 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, "Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Peter's given us the reason here why we are to live a holy life, because our salvation was purchased by something much more valuable than gold or silver, by the precious blood of Christ, God's Lamb, who had no blemish or defect. Peter goes on in verse 20 to tell us, he says, "He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." Peter says in verse 21, "Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." What a great verse here. Peter's telling us we're not just saved from something, but we're saved to something. We are saved, and now we need to love our brothers deeply from the heart. "For you have been born again." The same words Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, "Nick, you have to be born again." And Peter's telling us here, we were born not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. See, we weren't here to hear the words of Jesus when he spoke. We weren't there at the cross to see him die. We weren't there when he rose from the empty tomb. But listen, we believed upon his word, and now we have eternal life. Now Peter is going to quote from, I believe it's Isaiah 40, when he says, "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." That's Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8. So Peter here in the New Testament is quoting the Old Testament. See, in the old, the new is contained, but in the new, the old is explained. It's important for us to have both Old and New Testament, and even in the Old Testament, we have Isaiah prophesying what will happen to Jesus, so the new is contained. But in the new, the old is explained. And here is Peter explaining this passage from Isaiah 40. "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of God, the word of the Lord, stands forever." And then he says, "And this is the word that was preached to you." Isaiah saw it from a distance, but you and I got to experience it firsthand. Do you know, friend, in AD 303, the Roman emperor Diocletian, he demanded that every copy of the scriptures in the entire Roman Empire would be burned. And 25 years later, the Roman Emperor Constantine commissioned a scholar to prepare 50 copies of the Bible at government expense. God turned things around because the Word of God stands forever. It was prophesied by Isaiah, and we see the fulfillment of it today. God's Word never dies. Roman emperors have tried to stamp it out, but emperors come and go. God's Word still stands forever. His Word never changes, and His Word never dies. Now, today we're going to pick up with chapter 2 and enter into chapter 2, and this is what Peter says in the second chapter. It begins with my word, therefore. Now, you know it's going to be an important verse. Therefore, because of all that, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So he says, because of this wonderful salvation we have and the grace that we find in Jesus Christ, now we've got to rid ourselves of all these things like malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, all the things that make us treat other people bad. Peter says, get rid of it and desire the pure spiritual milk of God's Word that makes you grow up in your salvation. Don't you want to mature in Christ? We don't want to stay babies. Peter says, grow up in your salvation now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Now, as we pick up with verse 4, Peter's going to talk about coming to Jesus. Look what he says in verse 4. As you have come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Peter describes Jesus here as the living stone. See, he's the cornerstone. The living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God. Isaiah wrote about this in Isaiah chapter 42. He says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. What a beautiful passage about Jesus, the living stone, the cornerstone that the builders rejected. In verse 6, Peter goes on and he says, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. One of the things I love about Peter's writings is he's continually quoting Scripture. Here he is once again quoting from Isaiah 28. I lay a stone in Zion. My buddy Leon Patello, the former lead singer of Santana, when he visited Israel for the first time, he wrote that song from that passage of Scripture. I lay a stone in Zion. It's called Cornerstone. I love that song. But Peter's telling us here that Jesus is the cornerstone on which God's temple of people, of the church, is built upon. We're living stones, and we're built upon that cornerstone, that rock, Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus told Peter, Peter, you are, his name Peter meant pebble, you know, small rock. Jesus said, you are Peter. And then he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And I think what we don't see in Scripture is Jesus most likely pointed to himself, because the church wasn't built on Peter. It was built upon Jesus, the cornerstone, the rock of our salvation. To the one who receives him, He becomes the living cornerstone. But to the one who rejects him, then he becomes the capstone and they stumble. He's a rock that makes them fall. See, friend, the only way you can get to God is through Jesus Christ. You can't go over him. You can't go around him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm the door to the Father. Verse 8 continues, he says, they stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. And I love verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I have that underlined here in my Bible. That's one of the most important verses in all of the scripture, verses 9 and 10 here of 1 Peter 2, that we are a chosen people. God chose us. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And then he tells us our purpose, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Did you know, friend, you were created to praise God? You were created to worship him. And he tells us once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Imagine, friends, the things that were once just reserved for the people of Israel. Now we've been included because we've been grafted in. Things like the priesthood. You're now a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. All these things that were once just reserved for the blood descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, now we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're a royal priesthood. And the purpose that God gave us for these wonderful privileges that he calls us here by, the purpose of that is to proclaim his praise, the great things that he's done. Oh, friend, if we could only realize what a privilege it is to be his people, to be his special holy nation. See, Peter's saying you used to not belong, but now you belong to God. You're his people. Now, I only have a couple of minutes left on today's program, so let me just finish verses 11 and 12. Look what Peter says here. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. Now, we're not strangers from God. We're not an alien to God, but in this world, we're strangers and aliens because we're a part of another kingdom. He says, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. See, most people, when the devil tempts you with sin, when he tempts you with the desires of the thing that you want that you know is bad for you, the devil tries to make us think that's good. But really, friend, those sinful desires war against our soul. They're out to cripple you and pull you away from God. So what does God tell us to do? He says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. What Peter is telling us here is when we live a good life before the people around us, it'll cause them to see Jesus in us. It'll cause them to want what we have in our lives, which is salvation that God has given us and given us this wonderful hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're studying the book of 1 Peter. It's an incredible verse-by-verse study as we go through line upon line, precept upon precept. And today we covered the end of chapter 1 and a good part of chapter 2. Tomorrow we're going to pick up right where we left off. We'll start with verse 13, which is very interesting because it's very similar to Ephesians chapter 5 that we taught recently. Thanks for joining me today on Fresh Oil. Walk in grace. God loves you, friend. He loves you with an everlasting love.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he He makes His mercies new every morning.